I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 10, The Calm in the Storm. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and I share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with a principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. Thanks to everyone who listens and thanks to everyone who's left a review and given me such positive feedback. I sure appreciate it. If you didn't get a chance to yet, you can still leave a review or share this podcast on your favorite social media site. It's you guys that are the force behind getting the word out. Today's topic is the calm in the storm. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for March 4th through the 10th. I am a huge fan of Time Out for Women that is put on by Deseret Book. You know, my sister and I went to the very first one that happened in Mesa, Arizona. And I want to say it's probably about 18 years ago. And we have gone every year since. Except now it's grown into this really big deal where our mom and sister and sister-in-law and our daughters, we all go together every year, and it's a much look forward to and anticipated tradition. And I always come away uplifted and inspired. If you get the chance to go, I highly recommend it. One of my favorite people that often come is Callie Reed. Not too long ago, she shared a powerful insight to facing the storms that come into our lives, and I want to play a little clip from her talk for you now.
There is a place in Colorado where buffalo and cows live together in the same space, and I guess that that's not like a thing that happens everywhere. I don't know. Who knows these things? And so it doesn't usually happen, but in this one place in Colorado, you can see it. And what happens is there are storms that frequently roll in over the mountains. Now, the cows, when they sense the storm coming, they'll do what, I mean, I'd imagine most animals would do, which is they turn and they run away from the storm. The problem is that cows are not very athletic. And so they end up, you know what I mean? And so the cows are like running away like, no, moo. And then the storm is like, that's what cows actually say. And then, the storm will come and they end up running with the storm, which is so sad, poor cows. And they don't realize that they're actually like prolonging their time in the storm, and it sounds so stupid. We think, oh, these poor dumb cows, until you realize you are the cow. This is, and that's no offense, you guys, but seriously, how often do we do this? How often do we prolong, or not prolong, well, that too. How often do we procrastinate the meaningful conversations that could heal our relationships? How often do we put off that project that we've felt prompted that we need to get involved in or start or finish, the exercise program, the finance change, whatever it is, and we just don't do it. We just keep running along with the storm because that's the best. The buffalo do something very, very different, and I have a picture of a very nice buffalo for you to look at. Ta-da, he's so pretty. This is what we all want to aspire to be, is this buffalo. The buffalo do something very different. They turn to face the storm, and they run directly into it. Now, this doesn't help them avoid the storm, right? No one is getting out of the storm here. But what it does is it helps them get through it much faster they're not stuck in it. Yeah, they still have to go through it, but they're not stuck. I love this quote by Elder Robert D. Hills. He said, "Each of us must go through certain experiences to become more like our Savior. In the school of mortality, the tutor is often pain and tribulation, but the lessons are meant to refine and bless us and strengthen us, not to destroy us." We don't get to choose whether or not we have storms. We don't get to choose what our storms look like all the time. But if we trust God enough to walk through the storms with Him instead of running away, then the pain can heal us and sanctify us and bring us closer to Him. We will all go through storms. How will you respond?
Everyone gets overwhelmed with trials in their lives. I mean, that's life. We were not promised a life free of storms. On the contrary, we fought for this experience and we prepared for this experience in the pre-existence. We knew there would be storms. So why is it our first initial reaction is always to try and outrun the storm? Maybe we think if we run really, really fast, we won't feel the hurt and pain and anguish that we know is for sure to come, when in reality, it would do us more good to embrace the storm. There's a quote that says, "Without rain, nothing grows. Learn to embrace the storms in your life." But the question is, how? How do we embrace the storm? How do we embrace the storm and grow from it? Do we just lie down in fetal position and wait for it to pass? No. We find the calm in the storm. In Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 41 is the story of Jesus who goes out on a boat with his disciples. And it says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" In that scripture story, who calmed the storm? Christ did. Who can calm the storms raging in our own lives? Christ can. The calm in the storm is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He can help us withstand the howling winds and the waves that seem to beat upon us if we but trust in Him. Jesus Christ does care about you. Don't ever think He doesn't. Trust in Him and in His plan and have faith that it will be all right in the end. There's a short poem that goes like this. "All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never sink the smallest ship unless it gets inside. And all the evil in the world, the blackest kind of sin, can never hurt you the least bit unless you let it in." With the Savior's help, you can keep the water from coming in. Or in other words, you can keep the doubt and the despair and all the evil in the world that surrounds you from affecting you and causing your ship to sink. You can keep it from coming inside of you. Whatever storm you are going through, have faith and know that it will not, nor cannot, destroy you unless you let it. Oh, Elder Holland gave a fireside back in 2008 entitled Lessons from Liberty Jail. And in it, he talks about how most of the time we speak of the facility at Liberty as a jail or a prison. But Elder Brigham H. Roberts, in Recording the History of the Church, spoke of the facility as a prison temple. Now, no, it was not a temple in the sense that we know our dedicated temples to be. I mean, it was not pure and beautiful and comfortable or clean, and the speech and behavior of the guards were anything but temple-like. And yes, we love and are very blessed to have dedicated temples where we can participate in essential and exalting ordinances. But his point in his message is this. He says, quote, "You can have sacred, revelatory, profoundly instructive experience with the Lord in the most miserable experiences of your life, in the worst settings, while enduring the most painful injustices, when facing the most insurmountable odds and opposition you have ever faced. Every one of us, in one way or another, great or small, dramatic or incidental, is going to spend a little time in Liberty Jail, spiritually speaking. We will face things we do not want to face for reasons that may not have been our fault. Indeed, we may face difficult circumstances for reasons that were absolutely right and proper, reasons that came because we were trying to keep the commandments of the Lord. We may face persecution. We may endure heartache and separation from loved ones. We may be hungry and cold and forlorn. Yes, before our lives are over, we may all be given a little taste of what the prophets faced often in their lives. But the lessons of the winter of 1838 to 39 teach us that every experience can become a redemptive experience if we remain bonded to our Father in heaven through that difficulty. These difficult lessons teach us that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And if we will be humble and faithful, if we will be believing and not curse God for our problems, He can turn the unfair and the inhumane and debilitating prisons of our lives into temples, or at least into a circumstance that can bring comfort and revelation, divine companionship, and peace." Unquote. During the heartaches and storms that we will undoubtedly face at some time or other in our life, remember that you can get through them. Don't run from them. Face them head on with all the hope and faith you can muster. You may have to go through your own prison temple experience, but realize you will come out stronger and with a closer relationship to your Savior than you ever could any other way. The one thing you don't want to do is lose hope and curse God. Don't let that anger and hopelessness seep in. Stand strong. Have faith in the one that can calm the storm. In ending, let me share with you the words to one of the most beloved hymns, "Be Still My Soul." "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. With patience bear thy cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. One of my favorite groups to sing this is the a cappella group Eclipse 6, and I'll have a link to their music video to this song in the show notes. All right, on to Family Home Evening suggestion. For Family Home Evening, you can have the opening song. You can do a primary song called Faith, or you can do the hymn, The Lord is My Light. And then you can start out with probably one of my most favorite object lessons entitled, Do You Trust Me? This object lesson involves a Ziploc bag full of water held over someone's head, and you stab it with three pencils, and the person under the bag of water never gets wet. It's pretty cool. I first did this object lesson in my gospel doctrine class, and several mothers loved it so much that they did it in their family home evenings the very next day. Unfortunately, they didn't all have perfect results. So caution, if not done with the correct supplies or done as explained, someone will get wet. And I highly suggest doing this a time or two over the sink as a practice run before doing it in front of an audience. Okay, so the supplies you'll need is water and a quart-sized Ziploc bag, three round pencils, not the hexagonal-shaped pencils, just the round pencils. You know, the round ones that always have the cool pictures on them? And so you fill the Ziploc bag with water and close it tight. You get a volunteer and you hold the bag of water over their head. And you tell them that you're going to stab the bag of water with these three pencils, but they won't get wet. And then you ask, do you trust me? And sometimes they hesitate, but eventually they say yes. And then you stab the pencils one at a time, quick and straight all the way through. I have a video of me doing it so that I can show you exactly how it's done, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Now, the lesson learned is that you trust in the Lord even when things seem impossible. And you can share the scripture found in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then you can go on to the lesson by sharing the Callie Reed video or paraphrase what she said in your own words. And bear testimony of how, if we're ever going through a really hard time, to not run away, but to face our trials and trust in Christ. And he will help us through it. We know that he will from a story we are taught in the scriptures. And this is where you can lead into the scripture story slash activity of Jesus who goes out on a boat with his disciples, found in Mark 4, 36 through 41. And I say activity because this is a really good scripture story to have your family act out. If possible, you can use costumes or props, but act it out. Have someone be Christ who is asleep on the pillow and pretend a storm is coming and have him wake Christ up and so forth. And then after they act it out, tell them that just as Jesus calmed the great storm, he can also help us to feel peace and calm when we're going through a hard time in our lives. He can help us to not feel afraid or anxious. If we trust him, we have to trust him that he'll take care of us and that everything will be all right. And for a closing song, you can play the music video by Eclipse 6, Be Still My Soul. And on to the teaching tip for today. Today's teaching tip also comes from the Come Follow Me reading assignment. It's found in Matthew 9, verse 36 to 38, where it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Savior's plea here is for more laborers to share the gospel. And a comparison found in the Come Follow Me manual is this. Cleaning a dirty kitchen is much easier when several people work together than it is for one person to clean the entire kitchen by themselves. The same is with sharing the gospel. We can't leave the task up to just one person or to just the full-time missionaries to do. we have got to do our part. And when we do, when we are all working together, it makes the task much easier. Now, keep in mind, our part as member missionaries is different than that of full-time missionaries. And I want to share with you 8 suggestions that was given by Joni Hilton from an article she wrote on painless ways to be a member missionary. They are: 1, anytime someone moves into your neighborhood or apartment building, take them a welcome basket filled with goodies and info about local places you recommend, even medical referrals, and of course, your ward location and meeting times. 2, when you buy tickets to a movie, a sporting event, or a theater production, buy an extra ticket or two and find a non-member to bring along. 3, host a neighborhood potluck at your home. You actually save money with dinner doing this because all you have to provide is one main dish and the paper goods. 4, whenever a non-member asks how your weekend was or what you're doing this coming weekend, tell them about church or a baptism. 5, offer up to help an acquaintance search their genealogy with help in the Family History Center at your ward. 6, ask non-members to teach something at Relief Society activity nights or ward events about finance, emergency preparedness, burglary prevention, fitness, self-defense, and so on. 7, invite neighbors to traditional ward events such as 4th of July pancake breakfast or trunk or treat Halloween activity, a nativity display at Christmas. And 8, pray for someone to share the gospel with before you go into a building or store. Then slow down and look for that opportunity. So I challenge you to do one of those things this week. And then next week, I'll share with you a few more that she suggested. Share these ideas with your family, and maybe they'll spark some inspiration as to something you can do together as a family. All right, last but not least, hashtag take time for family. The 2 most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. And I have 3 conversation starters for you today. They are: 1, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would it be? 2, if you could be a famous person for a week, who would you be and why? 3, if you could eat just one food every day for a month and nothing else, what would it be? Ask your family these questions and see what they say. You just might be surprised. And another fun way to do dinner conversation starters is to have someone try and guess what another person will say. Have fun with it and enjoy being with your family. If you have any fun family activities or dinner conversation starters that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear them. Simply email me at melanie@melanieslibrary.com, and maybe I'll share your idea on the next podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can find the show notes for today's episode at www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme10, the number 10. Remember, this is also where you can become a part of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light Family Home Evening email group. There is a place to sign up in the show notes of every episode. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.